Hello, my name is Mark Sommer, and you're about to listen to the audio from a Passover Seder. Due to the nature of a Seder, there are times when food or drinks are being set up, and that leaves periods of silence on the recording. Please be aware that for this recording, we have digitally removed those long periods of silence. This Passover Seder meal follows the liturgy presented in a Passover Haggadah, which you could download for free at www.somer.net/media/haggadah.pdf. Please feel free to copy this recording and distribute it free of charge in its entirety. I hope it is a blessing to you. God bless you.
I want to thank everybody for coming. This is really great. And I want to thank the pastor and the elders for having this function here tonight. It's a testimony to our Lord Jesus Christ that people who know Christ know that Christ was a Jew and that the New Testament was written by Jews. And that and they know that and they appreciate that. I remember when I first became a Christian, people who don't know, I am Jewish, and I became a Christian a number of years ago. And when I did, it was a mistake for particularly my family to say, "Oh, you're not Jewish anymore." And that's crazy. That's not true at all. Jesus was Jewish. His apostles were Jewish. The New Testament is a Jewish book. And in fact, the Last Supper was a Passover Seder. So what we're doing tonight is not divorced from Easter at all. In fact, it has great significance to Easter. We're here to celebrate Easter is this Sunday, and praise God for that. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. And the Passover is not like, this Easter and this Passover, and you know, this is for the Jewish people and this is for the Gentiles. That's not what it is at all. Passover is a very Christian holiday. It's a shame that my Jewish brethren don't see it that way, for the most part, although some do, and we praise God for them. So again, thank you so much. We have a Passover Haggadah. The reason why I wrote my own Passover Haggadah, because if we went through a real, authentic Passover Haggadah, it's about 3.5 hours long. So I figured that you would appreciate it more if we just sort of, you know, kind of did the Reader's Digest version. Again, Seder, the word Seder comes from the Hebrew word which means order. And in fact, a authentic Seder, not that this is not, but I should say a complete Seder, an abridged Seder, lasts about 3.5 hours because it's so ordered. And so that's a lot to bear. So we're going to spare you of that, and we'll try to do as reasonably as possible here tonight. So we do have the Haggadah. We're going to stick to it pretty closely. We are going to be ordered. Again, tonight is going to be pretty liturgical, probably more so than we're used to here. We don't often do a lot of reading and calling and response and all that stuff, but I think given the night, it's appropriate to deviate from our normal ways. If you go through the Haggadah, I will be playing the part of leader. The part of leader will therefore be played by the funny guy in the suit. When you see, when you see group, that's you. So pay attention and please participate, because this is a participatory evening. All right, so I will start with the welcome. Welcome to our Passover Seder. A Seder is a meal we eat to commemorate what God has done when he miraculously freed his people from slavery in Egypt. The Bible teaches us, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. At the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover." That comes from Numbers 9, 1 through 4. Now, as it says here, none of us are slaves in physical sense. But the Bible does teach us that all people are born as slaves to sin. This Seder has extra significance to all of those who have been redeemed by God, not from physical slavery in Egypt, but from slavery to sin by salvation in Christ. The Seder is not just for Jewish people, but for all those who know Jesus as the Passover Lamb of God. Let us remember the significance of the Passover Seder, Messiah's Last Supper, with his disciples was in fact a Passover Seder. Jesus said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Luke 22:15. So again, Jesus, when he met with his disciples and had that Last Supper, that was a Passover meal. And that was a meal that Jesus desired to have with his disciples. I have desired to have this Passover meal with all of you. And I'm glad that we're here. One of the first, the Passover again is very ordered. There are definite sections, and these sections are outlined in this Haggadah. The first section is the Bedikat Hametz, which translated means the search for leaven. Whenever you're going to speak Hebrew, you just have to... I know it's cold season. A lot of us have colds. We're coughing. That really works out well. Bedikat Hametz. We say Hametz.
Hametz.
We will say Hametz, but there will be no Hametz here. Because Hametz... Anybody know what that is? Right there. What is it?
Leaven.
That's right. Leaven. Very bad at Passover. No leaven. As it is written in Exodus 12:14-20, in preparation for the Passover, God commanded the people of Israel to remove all leaven or yeast, in Hebrew chametz, from their houses. Now, typically at Passover Seder, we actually have a search for leaven, where everybody goes around and searches. And this is a great time of the year. This is the one time of the year that the women clean for leaven and the men check up on their work. How's that, huh? The women go around all day, make sure there's no chametz anywhere, and the men, who sit around and do nothing all day, finally at night they get to be the leader and they walk around with their little feather or whatever it is and they check for chametz. Now, given that we want to eat before 11:30 p.m. tonight, we will abbreviate this, and I will just ask the pastor. Pastor, do you confirm that there is no chametz in this room?
I do.
All right, well done. Now, let us remember that in the Bible, leaven is a symbol for sin. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And you say?
"Therefore, let us eat with the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth."
Amen. Let us search ourselves for any leaven, for any impurity of thought, word, or deed, which might separate us from fellowship with the God who commanded us to remove the leaven. God said, remove the leaven. And leaven in the Bible is a symbol of sin. So it is appropriate for us to see in our heart if there's any leaven and to repent of that, to remove ourselves from it. Just as in the homes of Jewish people, they remove the leaven, they actually bring it outside and burn it. In the same way, if we have any malice, wickedness, evil thoughts, anything like that, let us remove it from our hearts, bring it outside and burn it. Let us remove it if we have removed the leaven from the script. I'm being unfair to you. I'm deviating from the script, so it's hard for you to know when to come in. He's going to have to. That's one thing you're going to have to deal with tonight. So keep on your toes. Go ahead.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Praise God. At this time, we're going to have Jason come up and lead us in a worship chorus. The words are there. I want to forgive you for one of my mistakes. I forgot to put the second verse of the song in, so Jason looked at it and said, "Hey, where's the rest of the song?" And I looked at it and go, "Oh yeah, look at that." So we're not going to sing the whole song.
We'll sing it through twice. Anyway.
All right, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Everybody sing out, especially if you know it, please.
Your in my heart, let
Over the candles. I'm going to just randomly pick a beautiful woman. Put this one right here in the front. Everybody, the candle. Where's the flamethrower? It has always been the Jewish way for a woman to usher in the new day with the lighting of the candles. This should remind us that it was a woman who ushered in the Messiah, the light of the world.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Now, because it's the women who do the prayer over the candles, I'll ask my wife to light the candles, and then the women will say the blessing, which is in Hebrew right there for you all to read, or that you can read the English transliteration if you would prefer. And we all say together the translation for that.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has made us holy and has commanded us a life that's acceptable life.
Now we move over to the Kadesh, the sanctification of the meal. The four cups are a very ancient tradition of a Seder. They each relate to God's promises of freedom to our people. With each cup, we remember the four words in Exodus 6:6-7. The first cup, the cup of sanctification.
I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
The second cup is the cup of deliverance.
I will bring you out of their bondage.
And the third cup is the cup of redemption.
And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment.
And the fourth and final cup is the cup of praise.
And I will take you to me, O Lord. And I will make you your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which is bringing you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
Amen. This is the first cup, the cup of sanctification. Let us take it together. All of you, if you would, take your cups and pour a little bit of grape juice in. Sorry, I should give you more warning. Now, I should explain to you that I'm actually allergic to grape juice. So I will not be drinking from my cups in a truly authentic Seder. I would be drinking from these cups. And so if you, at the end of the night, they'll all be empty. So the reason why these aren't empty is because I have problems. Okay, so please don't let that distract you. You can always tell when we use the good wine in my house, because I would say to my mother, do you want me to unscrew the cap for you? Everybody ready?
Great.
The first cup. This is the first cup, the cup of sanctification. Let us take it of it together and proclaim the holiness of this day of deliverance. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Together?
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who makes the fruit of the vine.
Let us all drink from the cup of sanctification. And Jack, try not to get it on the floor or on the walls or the people near you. Thank you. And you can, at this point, refill your cup so you'll be ready for the next one. All right, we'll move over to the Erchatz. Love that. The washing the hands. Now, during the Last Supper, it may have been at this point that the Messiah washed, as we know, not the hands, but what did he wash? The feet of his disciples. Must have been very shocking.
Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you.
The men together, we say,
The Messiah said, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all.
The purification process required sacrifice because no amount of water could cleanse us from our sins. God said, For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
At the Last Supper, Jesus said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me.
He also said, Ye are clean, but not all.
For he knew he should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean.
Now we go to the section Karpas. Karpas is Hebrew for greens. The wine we drank was red in color, reminding us of the blood of the Passover lamb. These greens remind us of the hyssop which applied this blood to the doorposts of the homes of the Hebrew slaves. The salt water, which you all should have available to you, reminds us of the tears we shed in bondage and of the waters of the Red Sea through which we passed to safety. The greens also remind us of the new birth we received through faith in the Messiah. Together?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Everyone dips the greens into the salt water and eats. I do not guarantee that you'll like this, but... We said that there was going to be a full dinner tonight. There it is. You had it. Pretty good, huh? What do you think? You like that? You know what? It's supposed to make a lasting impression. You're supposed to remember it. So the greens represent? What do the greens represent?
The hyssop.
The hyssop and the new birth. Right. And the salt water? The tears. Absolutely. So now the yahatz. The breaking of the middle matza. During the Seder, the matza is kept in a linen container called a matzatosh. The container has three compartments which represent a compound unity, or in Hebrew, an echad. The middle matza is broken, and this is called the afikomen. The afikomen will be hidden until the end of the meal. Now, what I'm supposed to have is all the children are supposed to cover their eyes while we hide the afikomen. but I don't trust any of you little rats. because I have three of my own and one on the way.
Not like that. You say that, everybody looked at me.
Yeah, she's not pregnant, we're adopting. So, I've already hidden four Abikomans in the room. Woohoo! Anyway, so, suppose you have no people, we're going to skip that part. It says the Abikoman is hidden while children cover their eyes. Yeah, right. Now, I want you to know, if you guys can look at the matzah on your plate underneath your napkin, because of the way matzah is prepared, it is striped naturally. It is striped because of the way it's cooked. Not only that, but matzah is pierced. You can see all the little holes in it. It also has no leaven. And what does leaven represent?
Sin.
That's right. We learn leaven represents sin in the Bible. Like the Afikomen, our Messiah Jesus was also striped. He was also pierced. And he was without sin. He also was broken, hidden in the earth for 3 days, and like the Afikomen, he returned.
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and then rose again the very day, according to the Scriptures. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
And he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
And now we move to the Magid, the recounting of the story of Exodus, which is really one of the main reasons why we're here. This next section developed from the imperative of Exodus 12, 26 to 27. And it shall come to pass, that when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Isn't that so often? So many people have come up to me and said, why are we doing this Passover? I said, why? So that we can say what God did. You know what? I think I'm getting a little bit of revenge for making everybody eat the parsley. I might have still, like, kind of stuck in my throat. Would somebody be good enough to get a cup of water for me, please? Thank you, Chef. Absolutely. I'm like, I got the grain stuck in my throat. Well, all right. In these words, which I commanded thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach diligently unto thy children. So, children, pay attention. This Passover Seder is for you. It's not just an adult thing. This is fun for kids. We get to eat strange foods. We get to say funny things. We get to look for the Afikomen later. This is a lot of fun. It's not just fun. It's you. It's greens. Guys, it's not just fun. It's to teach us about what God has done. That he preserved his people and rescued them in a mighty way. And he will continue to do that for us today. It is tradition for the youngest child who is old enough to recite the four questions. Youngest child who is old enough? Now, I'm going to try to do something that I have not done since my bar mitzvah. And you're about to find out why my wife is going to be singing later and not me. Because, excuse me, I am going to attempt to chant the four questions, and my lovely assistant, Vivian Joyce Homer, is going to read them in English for you. So I have not done this since I was 13. Manishtana halala hazameko halelot shebako halelot anu oklin hameitu matzah halala hazah halala hazah kulo matzah. I know Wendy Camilleri is thinking, we'll never ask Mark for special music. And you would be wise. Vivian, would you read the first question right in the microphone, please?
Why is this night different from all the other nights? On all other nights, we eat leavened bread or unleavened bread. Why on this night, only matzah, the unleavened bread?
Shh. Shemakol Halilot, Anu Oklin Sha'ayirakot, Sha'ayirakot, Halayla Hazeh, Halayla Hazeh, Mahor.
On all other nights, we eat any type of vegetable. Why on this night, only Mahor, the bitter herb?
Shabakol halilot ein anu mapilin afilu pa'am echat, afilu pa'am echat, halayla hazeh, halayla hazeh, shetei pi'amim.
On all other nights we are not required to dip our vegetables even once. Why on this night two times?
Shabakol halilot anu oklin banyos binuvein misubin, banyos binuvein misubin, halayla hazeh, halayla hazeh, kulanu misubin.
On all other nights we eat sitting upright or reclining. Why on this night do we all recline?
Big round of applause for my
Now scoop.
The answers to these questions explain the major features of the Seder. We were once slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord our God brought us out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. On this night, we eat only matzah. That was the first question. Why do we eat only matzah? Because it reminds us of the swiftness of God's salvation, which came so quickly there was no time for the dough to rise.
We eagerly await Messiah's swift return. Watch therefore, you will not have the power of your Lord at the time. Therefore, be ye also ready, for such an hour as is even not the Son of Man cometh.
Why do we eat bitter herbs? On this night we eat bitter herbs to remind us of the bitterness of the bondage in Egypt. Why on this night do we dip twice? On this night we dip the parsley in the salt water to remind us of the tears shed in bondage. I'm certainly reminded of that by the parsley. And we dip the matzah into the charoset to remind us of the sweetness of freedom which the Lord brought about through the Exodus. On this night we recline because in ancient times this was the posture of free people at meals.
Once we were slaves, and now we are free.
And also I should say that there is an unofficial fifth question of the Seder, and that is, when do we eat? And that'll come shortly. I also wanted to say a quick joke. I told Rick I was going to say a joke. I'm sorry, Wendy. This is, we're doing this fun. Yeah, you can sit down. You heard that the first question, Manishtana Alayla Hazem Mekol Halilo, means why is this night different than all other nights? Okay, now that you know that, you have what you need to understand and laugh at this joke. And I would appreciate that you laugh at it when it comes to the end, okay? It'll make the night go smoother if you do. All right, so this Jewish guy was going to be knighted by the Queen of England. And he was this is a big deal. Not every day you get knighted by the Queen of England. This is not part of the traditional Passover Seder joke. I'm ad-libbing here, okay? So just go with me. So he's going to be knighted by the Queen of England. And you know what he's supposed to do? He's supposed to get in line with the other knights. And when it's his turn, he's supposed to genuflect and say a Latin phrase that he learned in Latin. Okay, so all of them, they all genuflect, say the Latin phrase. Well, this Jewish kid who's about to be knighted by the Queen of England, he gets so intimidated when it's his turn, there's her Royal Majesty in front of him, that he genuflects, he can't think of the Latin phrase, he reaches back and thinks of the only thing he can think of from his Hebrew school days. He says, Manishtana, halayla hazeh, mekol halaylo. The Queen of England is very confused, looks around and says, why is this night different than all the other nights? All right. That's seven. <laughs> <laughs>
power of your hand, you turned the sea into dry land, to the outcast on her knees, in her the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, Elohim, you're my father, life. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, you've made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, though your words contain the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, Elohim, Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high.
Thank you, Wendy. That was great. The 10 plagues. Everybody there on page 11? The 10 plagues which the Lord inflicted upon Egypt punished them for their harsh treatment of his people and humiliated their gods. He showed his strength as the only true God of the universe.
The result of their own evil, they will not rejoice over their defeat.
A full cup of wine is a symbol for joy. Therefore, as we recall each plague, we remove a bit of our joy. As each plague is mentioned, take a drop of wine from your cup and allow it to drip onto your plate or napkin or matzah. And together we'll say all the plagues. The Nile into blood. Frogs. Lice. Flies. Pestilence. Boils. Hail. Locusts. Darkness, the slaying of the firstborn. None of these plagues are pleasant, but they remind us about a very important attribute of our God, his judgment. He has promised that he will punish sin.
Now have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, for all our transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This represents the Passover lamb, the Pesach, who was slain and whose blood was put on our forefathers' doorposts, that they might be saved from God's wrath.
The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
This is the cup of deliverance.
Giving thanks unto the Father, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Let us drink from the cup of deliverance. Now the rachtas, washing the hands. In a traditional Seder, we would all now wash in preparation for the meal. However, acknowledging that the Messiah has made us clean, we will forego the ceremonial washing. It is helpful to know that the tables of that time, Jesus' time, did not look like the tables we're sitting in front of today. They were horseshoe-shaped and very close to the ground. People sat on the floor. On Passover, to celebrate freedom, pillows were placed around the table, and the Jews would recline rather than sit upright.
The Son of God, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed.
And now we will all say the blessing for the matzah. Ready? Actually, I'll do it in Hebrew, and then I'll do it together in English. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lachem min haaretz. Together?
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Amen. As is commanded in the Torah, let us remember the bitterness of slavery in Egypt by eating the maror. Now the maror is also known as Jewish dristan. And you should all have a little bit available to you. And if you survive the parsley, at this point on your plate, you should have one of the little pieces of matzah. Dip it into the maror if you're daring. And eat and remember the bitterness. Well, the good news is we're going to move to the charoset now, which you will... It's a good thing the charoset comes second, believe me. Because you want the charoset taste in your mouth, not the maror. So that we remember that our slavery has turned into sweetness, we put some charoset on the matzah and eat. The charoset is to remind us of the mortar our ancestors used to make bricks, but now it has been changed into sweetness. The charoset is made out of apples and nuts and a little bit of grape juice and maybe some cinnamon and some honey, and it looks like bricks. It looks like mortar, but it tastes quite sweet. And together we say, Thou hast turned for me my morning dances. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So go ahead, enjoy the charoset. The roasted egg reminds us of the temple sacrifices our ancestors performed. But since the temple has been destroyed, we dip the egg into salt water to represent our tears. At this point, everybody takes half an egg, which you should have available to you, dip it into the salt water, and eat. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the places of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels.
He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
They part my garments among them, and cast lots on my vesture.
He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel.
Now the Zathun, and I don't know how to say that one, Zathun, the retrieving of the Afikoman, the hidden matzah. This is the part that all the children were really looking forward to. Remember, I have hidden four Afikoman in this room. Understand something, children. I have not hidden it anywhere near my video camera. So nobody should be running around in this corridor anywhere near the video camera. Understood?
Understood.
Now everyone who considers himself a child, put your hand up. Jack, is your hand up? Everybody who is 13 or older, put your hand down. Everybody who has their hands still up may participate. 12 years old and younger. There are four of them. They're not near the video camera. They're not in any place that's dangerous where you could hurt yourself.
Are they on the table?
Go get them. When I was a kid, I was such a rat at Temple Israel Brogdon that I would look for the Afikoman before the ceremony started. Like when we showed up early, I would look for it, I would know where it is, and then I'd run right for it. See, that's why I'm sure you guys, none of you children would have done something nearly as awful as that. The Afikoman is the middle piece of matzah, of the three matzah, which form a unity, or echad. It has no leaven. It is sinless. It was striped, pierced, broken, hidden away in a face of the children brought back. In like manner, the Messiah, the second person of the triune God, whom Moses had also called Echad, has no leaven of sin. He was striped, pierced, broken, buried, and brought back to life. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Say it there, but that's a spontaneous amen. Now I want everybody to break off a small piece of matzah and hold it. You should have it on your plate. Did you already eat your matzah? Shame on you. If anybody needs matzah, come on, I've got it. Plenty here, so. You can share. Just all you need is a tiny little bit. Now when we take the matzah this time, I want you to hold it in your mouth as long as possible. Because its taste should remain in our mouth to remind us of all God's deliverance in the past, in the present, and in the future. Together we say the prayer over the matzah. Blessed are you, O Lord
King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Now before we eat the apikoman, I must warn that this step is only for those who trust in Jesus as Messiah. Nobody's watching, nobody's going to look down upon you, but if you're not a born-again Christian, you should skip this step. At Jesus' last Passover meal, he gave a new commandment, one that must have startled his disciples. He broke the matzah and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now those who have trusted in Jesus, eat the apikoman, holding it in your mouth as long as possible. This do in remembrance of our Messiah. Now we go to the berach, the blessing for the meal. Here we give thanks after the meal to remind us that all that we have just enjoyed has come from and through the provision of God. We must be aware that His goodness and bounty are constant, daily occurrences, and will always be so. Let us bless you, our God, of whose gifts we have partaken.
Blessed be you, our God, by whose goodness we exist, and by whose loving kindness we have eternal life.
We give thanks unto you, O God, for having caused our ancestors to inherit that desirable, good, and ample land, and because you have brought us forth from the land of Egypt and redeemed us from the bondage of slavery.
We give thanks unto you, O God, because you have redeemed us from the bondage of slavery to sin, and you will bring us to the New Jerusalem.
The third cup, the cup of redemption, recalls God's third promise to Moses, "And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments."
But God will redeem my soul from the
hour
of the grave.
You cannot redeem me.
The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
And they remember their God, Zerah, and I, God, their Redeemer.
We look forward to the final redemption promised in the new covenant. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Do you want to raise the third cup? Together, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. To confirm the covenant at Mount Sinai, Moses took the blood of the sacrifice offerings and sprinkled it on the people. As recorded in Exodus 24:8, he said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you." Baruch atah Adonai Together, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who makes the fruit of my heart. Remember, only those who have trusted in Jesus as Messiah should participate in this part. After Yeshua, that's Jesus, gave thanks for the wine, he said, "Drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Those who trusted in Jesus drink from the cup. And now we come to the part of Elijah. Notice that a plane hit the place. Notice that it's traditional for an empty seat to be set at a Seder. Notice that a place has been set at the table but not used. It has been set for Elijah, whose return before the coming of Messiah was proclaimed by the prophet Malachi. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord."
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert the highway for our God.
Elijah was to warn the people of God's judgment and to prepare the people for the coming Messiah. We know that Elijah's work was already accomplished in John the Baptist. Nevertheless, we keep Elijah's place as a reminder of Messiah's next coming and of the many people who do not know him. It is to them we must bring the message of redemption, the gospel. For not only will Messiah bring peace, but he will bring wrath to those who are not redeemed. Jewish people today open a door at this time so that the prophet may enter. We do it to express our desire to be like the Philadelphian Christians. Our Lord said of them, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength that has kept my word and has not denied my name. And we'll keep that door open the remainder of the service. Again, it's what I think is neat is that Jewish people all over the world leave an empty space for Elijah and open the door for Elijah. And how sad is that? That they don't know that Elijah has come in the way of John the Baptist and that Jesus has come. So we do it to remember that Jesus has come and that he's coming again. Praise God. Hallel, the songs of praise. Psalms 113 through 118 collectively are known as the Hallel, or the Psalms of Praise. It is likely that Jesus and his disciples sang from these very psalms during the Last Seder meal. So let us recite some excerpts from these Psalms of Praise. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same.
be praised.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake.
I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications.
Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live.
Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful.
I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord.
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation.
You give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
I'll raise the fourth cup. In praise of the salvation the Lord has brought and that which is yet to come, we raise the fourth cup and recite, and all of you can probably do it at this point, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Vorei Kri Hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who makes the fruit of the vine. I'll drink from the fourth cup. Nietzsche. Doesn't that sound Klingon?
Nietzsche.
I did not write that. That was spontaneous. All right. Maybe I have been drinking the wine. All right. Enough of that. Our observance.
Let's be very formal about this.
Our observance is accepted. The order of the Passover Seder is now complete. Just as we were privileged to perform it, so may we be privileged to do it in the future. Now, at this point, it's tradition to recite the phrase, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. Now, this phrase is meant to embody the desire of all Jews dispersed throughout the diaspora to return back to our homeland. However, when we say it, we long not for the physical Jerusalem of today, but for the promised new Jerusalem that God will bring to earth as part of his final redemptive plan.
The Bible records, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.
And as Christians, we are not content with the mere Jerusalem of today, impressive of a city though it may be, nor should we be ultimately satisfied with anything this world offers. As Christians, let our heart's desire be to live in the new Jerusalem, always yearning for the day when our Lord returns for us. We praise our God by saying together, next year in the new Jerusalem.
You shall go out to your land, be at one with peace. The mountains on the hills will be right before you. Heavenly skies of joy, and all the trees of the fields will clap, will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands.
Pastor, would you come up?
It's been a wonderful night, but you know, it was a night of observance. It was a night for us to see how in a Jewish household this would be done. You know, and as we said before, this is going on in Jewish households all over the world tonight, because this is Passover in different time zones, obviously, but in a continuous succession, these Seders are going on, and what praise it must give to the Lord. Also, what sorrow it must cause the Lord to know that his chosen people do not recognize his son as the Messiah, and we want to keep them in our prayers, certainly. Well, this is just another step in the week's observances of leading and culminating in our celebration of the resurrection on Sunday. And I trust that you will take time This week, if you haven't done so yet, start reading through those accounts in the Gospels of the crucifixion and of the resurrection to follow. And don't waste this season. Use it as an opportunity as well to tell others about the Savior that you believe in, that you have trusted in, that has saved your soul. Let's just be dismissed with a word of prayer. A few announcements afterwards. Not dismissed, but let's end our official ceremonies with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Our Father God, we do thank and praise you for your Messiah, your Son, Jesus Christ, and our Savior. Father, we thank you that tonight we can have some fun remembering him, but also, Father, remembering what you did to bring your chosen ones out of Egypt into Israel, the promised land. Father, that reminds us and makes us very mindful of what you will do with us, bringing us ultimately and eventually to the New Jerusalem. Father, we thank you and praise you for your Son, for the way we could honor him tonight, and for all that was said and done, Father, we trust you will receive the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.